All right, good afternoon. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Been a busy day for me. I just finished up on a book that I was reading. I wrote a review. I've got that posted. I don't know if I'm going to do an audio review on it or not. I wanted to make sure I got some of my other projects done. I worked on my Sunday school lesson as well on apologetics, and it's just kind of an overview or introduction to apologetics. I'm gaining some more knowledge and reference material with regards to that. So I want to take my time going through that. I just wanted to really kind of give a foundation on why we do apologetics or why we should do apologetics as believers. And we absolutely should. And I'm going to cover that tomorrow. Tomorrow's Sunday school will actually be the second in this series. Now, the first is already up on YouTube. And for those interested, they could go to Bible Way Baptist Auburn, MA, Auburn, Mass, and check out that video there. There'll be another one tomorrow. But a couple of months ago, I had mentioned something from the pulpit. It was really a charge to the men that all the men present should be able to teach a Sunday school at the grace level. And my reasoning was that the men should be leading their devotions, the family devotions in the home. And if they're leading the family devotions in the home, then it's assumed they have some ability to be able to extract from the Bible material, information, practical information, doctrine, historical, what have you, to be able to teach to the family. And so these two gentlemen came up and said they'd like to teach an adult Sunday school. And I said I'd gladly work with them. I gave them their text already. For those of you that may be interested in the text they'll be working on, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, and then 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 1 through 3. So they've been given that text. They've had close to a week to just read the text, read it over and over and over again. And then I told them that I would get together with them on Sunday and go over some tips on how to study. Now, I'm not going into, you know, commentaries and, you know, other external sources for the study. And we'll get to all of that at some other point. But for now, it's just going to be the text. So it'll be more of an inductive Bible study, just gleaning out of the text some practical things. That's really all it is, not deep theology, but just some practical things just to get them acquainted with the text, how to make the application, and then, of course, teachability as well. It's easier to teach practical than it is to teach a doctrinal or deep theological lesson. And then we'll get into a concordance and, you know, commentaries and other resources that can be used, you know, in the study of the Bible. There's certainly a lot, but I didn't want to bog them down with all that. I know sometimes when you, especially when you're dealing with new believers, because they're overwhelmed, you know, they're excited. They want to read the Bible. They want to learn. They want to grow. They have questions. And then they start asking, well, what kind of sources can we use? What kind of commentaries do you recommend? What kind of books do you recommend? And then, you know, pretty soon they're investing all this money and time and utilizing the resources for these books, when in reality, their first resource should be the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I'm not against external, you know, works to help, you know, with the study and understanding of the scripture. They're there for a reason. We have sermons for a reason. We sit under the preaching and teaching of God's word so that we can gain that information. So I'm not opposed to that. I just know that sometimes new believers can be overwhelmed when they just get saved. They read the Bible. It's a big book. It's a big book. I've got a number of young people now who are trying to read through from Genesis to Revelation. And that's quite a task, especially for new believers. And so just kind of coaching them through that and giving them some ideas so they don't, you know, they don't just die right in the middle of the Pentateuch and not pick the book up again and read it. Those of you that have been through the Bible know that there are some books and some chapters that are long and take some time to get through. So they could be discouraged, and we don't want to do that. We want to encourage them to read and study their Bibles. That's a big thing here at Bible Way, just encouraging people to love the Lord, love the Bible, study. And we are very open. We've had some really interesting conversations doctrinally, and it continues. We've got an eager group of young men and women who just want to learn something from the Bible. And so they come in and they share, you know, what they're reading from the Bible, how they're approaching their reading of the Bible, and so forth. So I decided at the last minute, once I finished actually typing this up, to kind of put this together in audio form. I don't know, maybe somebody listening to this could use some of this, or, you know, maybe help you in your study of the text or the Bible in general. And so I picked two texts. I think they're fairly easy, and I think they're going to do okay with it. But you yourselves can look at Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Most of you should probably know that one by now. And then 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 through 3. So the first thing that you should do in studying the Bible is pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding and guidance. That really should start the whole process. Lord, can you help me understand what I am about to read? And just start with that, and be careful to note any observations that you may have as you're reading through. The second thing is read through it a number of times. And I recommended doing that before you start taking notes. Read the entire chapter. Read verses before and after. Get the gist of the text. Make some general observations about the text in your mind each time that you read through it. Then the third thing, after you've read through several times, brainstorm. Now, again, brainstorm is just brainstorm. Don't think about the formality or neatness or organization or anything like that. That's going to come later. Sometimes I get like that. I have to be organized, but it doesn't work that way. The way my brain works when I'm reading it, I just write down the thoughts that come to mind, and those thoughts lead into major thoughts or major points or even a whole sermon. So brainstorm. After you go through the text, you know, a couple of times, write down the things that come to mind. Write down the ideas, the thoughts that you have, whatever comes to mind with regards to the text. Take note of words that are repeated, themes, watch your punctuation, watch your transitions. How is the text structured? Don't think about, you know, neatness or order. The organizing will happen later once you get a little more formal. Use the inductive method. Inductive study uses the Bible as the main source and draws conclusions from the text. We might call that exegesis. If you want to use a technical term, you're drawing out of the text, out of the Bible, the sense of the meaning of the text, the words, and so forth. And so we're not reading into the Bible, eisegesis. Don't read your thoughts into or what you think a text ought to say. Draw from it what the text says. Then ask questions about the text. Who's the author? Who is he writing to? Why is he writing to them? What are the cultural or political items that are in the text? What does the passage say? See, in this, you might think, well, that's kind of an oversimplification, preacher. I mean, what does the text say? You're kind of stating the obvious. Sometimes when you get into a gospel encounter with somebody and it turns into more of an apologetical situation, it comes down to, what does the text say? I don't want you to tell me what you think the text means. What does it say? Look for the imperatives. Look for the indicatives. Look for those things in the text and write those things down. The next thing is, what will you do with the passage? Why am I studying this passage? What's the purpose of my studying this? And again, depending on who's listening and what your background is and what your calling is, you know, a preacher is thinking in terms of his homiletical presentation, how he's going to present to the congregation. What's he going to do with this text? What does he expect the congregation to do with the text, with the sermon? What lessons doctrinally and practically are you trying to convey to your audience? So you're drawing those doctrinal and practical things out of the text. These are things that you can communicate to your listening audience. And then I have last, start with a rough outline. And then, you know, you can get together with somebody, maybe get together with a group of men or your pastor and just go over the findings, you know, and then kind of work through all of that and come up with a final draft that you can present in a teaching format. So journaling is key. Journaling is key to keeping and gaining a deeper understanding of the text. It helps with memory retention, and it certainly stirs up thought. So that's just a handful of things to consider when studying the Bible. Certainly there are many more things that we could add to this, but that will be for another time when we talk about the resources that are available for studying the Bible. I didn't want to complicate it. I know a lot of times, you know, we get these new believers that come on and, you know, they got the Bible. It's beautiful, sharp Bible, leather Bible. They're happy with it. And then somebody directs them, go buy a set of commentaries from so-and-so. And, you know, if a church is providing a good teaching format or environment, the discipleship class at the Sunday school and of course, the preaching services, if all of the various aspects of the teaching ministry in the church are true to the Bible, then those that are sitting under those respective classes, services, and what have you are going to get a nice full plate of doctrine, and that's going to help them, you know, and they won't have to go and, you know, buy a ton of commentaries or resources to help them understand the scriptures. And don't forget, your teaching is going to help them to understand how to study the Bible themselves. So, you know, some preachers start with a text, they take off, and then they fly off, and they never come back to the text. They just take a journey, and they're gone. And there's nothing that relates to the text. There was no exposition of the text whatsoever. They just said, here's the text, they quote it, and then they go off on a rant, and they don't say anything about it. Nehemiah says this in chapter 8, verse 8, so they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. I think that's every teacher's responsibility to read in the book. So the Bible is the final authority to give the distinct reading and understanding and sense, as it says here in the text, the sense of the text and to understand what they're reading. And then to add to this, 2 Timothy chapter 2, of course, Paul is talking to the young preacher here, and he says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And of course, this is to the young preacher Timothy, but it certainly applies to us all, and especially somebody that's getting into a position where they're going to be teaching or preaching. And it doesn't matter where, by the way. It doesn't matter if it's in a church or in a nursing home or even in your home. Even in your home, you know, as a man of God leading your home and teaching your wife and your children the Word of God, you want to be that person who studies to show himself approved unto God. And the wording here suggests that it's laborious. There's a lot of work that goes into studying the Bible. It says a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so anyway, I wanted to end that little lesson for now. Hope it's a blessing. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.